Welcome to Sensible Health Solutions, the show where we simplify health and wellness. Join your hosts, Haley Fields and Dr. Scott Looper, as they share practical tips and expert insight to help you navigate common ailments, nutrition, and overall well-being. Tune in for straightforward advice that empowers you to live a healthier life.
Good morning, Dr. Looper.
Good morning, Haley. How are you doing?
Good. Well, last episode was very interesting. Learned a lot about how to grow bones, and it had me thinking, well, then how do you grow hair and nails? If hair and nails are made of similar components as bones, is it the same story?
Yes.
And this all comes from the fact that I am losing both of my big toenails. And I will need to learn how to grow them back immediately.
Okay. why are you losing your toenails?
That's another story for another
time. Okay, so we'll come back to that at the end of the show. Let's get the big picture to go first.
Okay.
So the point I'm trying to make with these shows recently is that often the best treatment is where you set up a pattern in your life that stimulates some particular pathway that needs to be stimulated. Now, we talk about growing bones, and there are certain things you have to set up. I mean, you just can't sit there and wish for my bones to get thicker. What you have to do is you have to actually take action and do various things. Now, the basic story here is in order to build stuff, you need to have the materials that the stuff you're trying to build is made out of available. Yeah, duh. So you get the case of hair and nails, it's made of protein, keratin in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to have protein available.
Okay.
Now, protein is not often in short supply because people tend to, you know, like protein. It's in meat and fish and eggs and beans and nuts and seeds and those kinds of things. Occasionally people come up low protein it's real. It's not common. It's real. And if they're low in protein, then they actually need to take something to build hair and nails. Now, the thing I've noticed that people want to build hair and nails, we'll see what they're taking, is collagen.
Yeah, there are all these powdered collagen supplements on the market, and I don't know about it, Dr. Looper. It kind of looks like snake oil.
I'm not a huge fan of the collagen. The research isn't particularly good. There's lots of people saying that it helps. But if you set the intention to do something and then you take something, a lot of times the intention is what drives the process. So this isn't—it's understood in medicine as the placebo effect.
Yes.
That if you decide I'm going to do this thing, and then your body, in strange and mysterious ways, does the thing that you set the intention for.
And so, what about the liquid collagen? I've seen those products becoming more popular on the market as this miracle elixir.
Yeah, so the problem with collagen is made up of amino acids, and they're relatively long. Now, we are made up mostly of collagen. Collagen makes up our connective tissues. Our connective tissues hold us together. So bone is made up of collagen and minerals, hydroxyapatite crystals. And so if you take the hydroxyapatite crystals out of bone, you could do it with vinegar, stick a bone in a jar.
Yeah, we talked about that a little.
And you take it back out, and it looks like a bone, but now it's bendable because the crystals are out, and that's collagen. So that's what we are. If you take out our cells, liver cells, heart cells, muscle cells, those kind of cells, we basically still look the same as we did before. We're not quite as thick as we were.
So would it be more beneficial to eat, like, straight collagen in those forms?
Except for the absorption of collagen sucks. It's poorly absorbed. What happens
what
mostly...
What if you're eating bones, though? Is that better than just taking a powdered supplement?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
No, not really. So the thing that's better is to eat things that are easily absorbed. So what's easily absorbed? Fish.
Fish, yeah. Liquid. Fish.
So protein that's easily digested is easy to identify in the world around us, because those proteins rot the fastest.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever protein rots the fastest, that's the one you're going to get the most benefit from. Not in its rotten form.
Of course not. We don't want to poison ourselves.
So if you want to, if you're curious about a particular protein, how is this protein gonna get into my body? What's the absorption gonna be? Because your body has to break it down.
Yeah, you look at how digestible the food is, and you know the red meats, and the more fattier the food, it's harder to digest because your body's working at it longer.
Why is fat important?
The fat is important because it holds the collagen.
No, the fat coats the collagen. If you coat a food with fat, then the enzymes can't get to it.
Enzymes Say that have again?
To, if you coat a food,
yes.
Here's a piece of food.
Yeah.
Now it's coated with fat.
Yeah.
Now the enzymes are trying to get to it, but they can't get through the fat because the fat enzymes are water soluble.
Okay.
And fat is not water.
Yes.
And so they bounce off.
So you want to eat less fat for your body to be able to digest the protein?
Yeah, yes and no.
Because
you still need the fat.
Yeah,
though.
You still need the fat. The fat also promotes the collagen.
No.
No?
No. Fat okay. does other things altogether.
It coats the collagen.
No, forget the word collagen, because nobody takes fat and collagen together. Collagen, you either take it as a liquid or you take it as a powder.
Yeah.
And so it has no fat in it. So okay. there's no, the fat doesn't come into it. Now, if you're eating meat, let's yes. say you're going to eat a piece of fish
yes.
that's lean as opposed to a piece of fish that's fatty.
Yes.
So what's easier to digest?
The lean fish. Yeah, the chicken, the fish, the turkey, not the ribeye.
Yeah, but wait. Do we, just because it has fat on it doesn't mean it's not digestible because...
It just takes longer to digest.
Yeah, it just takes longer, that's all. Because we have fat breaking down substances called bile.
Yeah.
And so the bile comes in and emulsifies the fat. It breaks the fat down into little teeny fat blobs that come off, and now it's removed the fat coating, and now the enzymes can go to town.
So that's kind of where we were at the end of last episode, was talking about bolstering the digestive system and its acid to be able to digest these protein and enzymes. And
you're right. You're exactly right. So acid is a key element
here.
It is. Because if these things go through an acid bath, it weakens them and makes them easier to digest.
But if you have weak acid, then it's going to sit there and it's going to rot.
Then if you have weak acid, then it's harder to digest. Mm-hmm. Now, if you eat a teeny little bit, who cares? Even if you have a weak digestion, you can get through the teeny little bit. You're fine. You sit down and have a 16-ounce ribeye?
Yeah.
There's no way you're going to digest that.
No.
You say, Dr. Luber said I need to eat protein, so I'm going to eat more protein. Yeah, and you know what? You're going to have the worst digestion ever, because if you eat more than you can digest, you're going to get leftovers. Literally, you only digest a portion. 80%, 90%, 70%, 30%, some percentage you get. And whatever's left goes down in your lower intestine. And the bugs that live down there, woo-woo, this is excellent. You know, food's coming from above. And now it's time for us to party. And they go crazy on whatever it is. And you get indigestion. And protein, when it rots worse than anything. It makes the most toxic crap. That's the correct term, by the way. The most toxic crap that anything, any food you can eat. So protein, we want to be really careful that we don't overeat protein. Now, see, you just realized I just said the same thing in opposite ways. I said opposites here. I said in order to build hair and nails, you need protein because they're made out of protein. So you need to eat protein. Uh-huh. Except for now I just said, yeah, but you want to be careful. No, you don't eat too much protein. You eat too much protein, and then you're going to get sick and toxic, and it's going to be
not... Well, everything in moderation. Everything has a balance. Everything has a limit. We talked about magnesium and building bone density, and the other end of too much magnesium is it is a laxative. So then you release all the magnesium that you even took in the first place. So everything
is not
conducive
to absorbing magnesium when you get diarrhea.
Walking this fine line.
Yeah. Okay. So, anyways, the big picture is you want to get these substances in your body. Collagen, is that a great way to do it? Meh, not so much. I mean, does collagen have amino acids in it? Yes, it does. Hmm? And so, if I take these, aren't I going to be building my hair and my bones and my connective tissues too? The answer is yes, you will. It's relatively expensive. You could just eat food. And it's cheaper and tastier and better, and you can get it done. Because in order to get the benefit from the collagen, your body has to break it down into amino acids, or at least into polypeptides. Amino acids are like pop beads. You pop them together, pop, 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 and you get your protein.
Right.
So in order to, you can't get it in, it's too big, right? So in order to get it in, you got to go click, 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 cut it into little pieces, and the little pieces get sucked in. So you're going to have to break it down, pull it in, and then string it back together to get it to work. And your body can do that. I mean, it's doable. It's just not particularly efficient. So if you were eating something that was easier to digest than collagen, collagen is just not very easy to digest. Think of it. You're going to have a muscle, right, a steak, and then there's gristle. Collagen is gristle.
Okay.
So what you're eating is powdered gristle. Now, people who got lots of gristle, they think this is the best thing ever. Like, woohoo, we got our gristle, which before we were thrown away, but now we're going to turn it into this product and charge people $40 a jar for it.
Right.
Man, I love this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, it, you know, it's not.
So then that would make me think, okay, if you do want to supplement the gristle, then why don't you just eat, like, beef tallow?
That's not the gristle, though. Okay. Beef tallow is the fat.
Oh.
Gristle is the collagen.
Okay.
Okay.
They're separate.
They're different. Okay. Different things altogether.
I'm back.
Okay, so you can eat better quality proteins. Eggs are better quality protein. Fish is better quality protein. The mussel is better quality protein. Chicken's better quality protein. Turkey. Pork, even. Now, you can take those same
but
proteins.
Pork is pretty fatty.
It can be. Bacon is pretty fatty, mm-hmm. for sure. Mm-hmm. And so what's that fat doing to digestion? Weakening it,
yes.
Making it harder to get the protein. So bacon is not the highest quality source of protein that you can get.
Definitely
is it,
not.
Is it protein? Yes,
it's
it is.
It's still protein, not the best.
You eat one slice of bacon, meh, it's fine. Your body can handle it. It's not that much.
Yeah.
You eat seven slices of bacon, now you're challenging yourself, right?
Yeah, seven slices of bacon on top of all the Eggs O'Brien and potatoes.
So anyways, in order to grow hair and nails, you need to get protein into your body. Okay, very good. We've talked about that. Easier to digest proteins are better to get the protein in. You're going to get better digestion. So I recommend finding those quality sources of protein, and how you check and see if their quality is the ease with which they will rot. If the protein will not rot, then it is a low-quality protein.
So the charcuterie boards, the pepperoni, the salami, the cured meats, the jerkies.
Low quality.
Okay.
Low quality. I'm not saying you can't eat them. I'm just saying you can't eat very many of them.
So what about Alaskan game that's dried?
Like no, dried meat, same thing. If you get the highest quality meat in the world and you dry it, now it's harder to digest.
Okay.
And so you just made it more difficult. So jerky, even a jerky... You're jerking something that's super good for you, like salmon.
Yeah.
It still is harder to digest. Now, jerking also, there's not one thing. There's things that are slightly smoked, and then there's stuff that's jerky down to the where it's dried, and you can leave it on the countertop for 6 months, and it won't dry. So lox, I've bought lox before, and it doesn't rot as quick as salmon does, you know, fresh salmon, but it's pretty moist. And you can't leave it around for very long because it'll mold. And that stuff is not particularly hard to digest. Whereas the salmon jerky, the stuff that's actually, you know, dried hard, it's hard to just even eat the stuff because it's, you know, it's just dried too much. And it's, you know, it's great if you want to keep it for a couple of years and then have it to live on, because then you have something to eat and you don't eat very much of it and you can get some protein in that way. But if we're trying to grow your hair and nails, it sucks. It's just a bad source of protein. Okay?
Okay.
Unless you have a killer digestive system that can digest shoe leather, then you're fine. Those do exist.
Unless you're a 21, 22, 23, 24-year-old.
Yeah. Those late teen, early 20-year-old males are great. They can digest all kinds of stuff. And an occasional woman, too, for that matter. But if you get older, it gets worse. If older people have weaker digestion and they can't get through it as much, and if you leave leftovers, then you're gonna wreak havoc with your body. You're gonna have rotting food in your digestive system, and that is not good for anybody.
No, it's gonna take away.
It gives you upset stomach, and toxic liver, and a bunch of stuff like that. So the biggest problem in terms of all that digestive problem is leftovers.
Okay.
That is food that you eat that doesn't get digested, and the leftovers go down your lower intestine and wreaks havoc.
Yeah.
So short of that, you need to get the protein in. Okay, now what else do you need to do? Because the same story with the bone. You need to stimulate the growth. Your body needs to have cells that make the
stuff. Yeah, so how do you stimulate nail growth or hair growth?
You want to guess?
Like scalp massages?
Yes.
What about for nails? Cuticle massages?
Yes. I don't know, cuticle massages. I'm not sure about that because you're using these devices. I'm not the poking thing. I'm not sure about that. I'm afraid you're damaging stuff.
What about cutting them? Cutting your nails?
Yeah.
Cutting your hair?
Yes. Because there's a very, very slight stimulation from cutting because your head gets touched and your nails get touched. And so there's a stimulation there. Yes. Is it measurable? Yes, it is. Will it stimulate the growth?
I thought that was just something that hair stylists would tell you to get you to come in.
It's just tiny. The effect is tiny. It's measurable. It's been shown through research to be true.
But promoting circulation is more effective.
I mean, how often do you get your hair cut? Once every month or two?
No, I am usually once a year.
Okay, so you got long hair.
I know.
For me, I couldn't go a year between haircuts.
Right.
I would have a mop.
I shouldn't go a year, according to all of my hairdressers.
There's not a lot of stimulation coming from your hairstylist then. Now, if you were to take your hands and massage your scalp.
Yeah, I do
every
all
day,
the time.
Then you're going to get way more stimulation.
I want to grow my nails, though. I do want to grow my hair, too, but I really want to focus on these toenails.
Okay, so then what you're going to need to do is improve circulation. Do you know how to do that?
Hydrotherapy.
Tell us about that. How do you do it?
Alternating between a hot and cold water. So putting your feet in a hot bath for maybe 2 to 3 minutes, and then immediately alternating to ice cold for 3 to 4 minutes.
No, your minutes are too long. The main thing to do this, first of all, you're right. What you want to do is you want to shock your bits.
Okay.
And that makes
circulation
come. The
minutes are too long in that, though? You want to do it for a shorter duration?
What you want, the thing is you're doing a soak.
Okay.
And a soak is lovely and it's relaxing.
You want it to be quick, so that shock.
Yeah,
that
you want the transition to be quick.
Okay.
So how you do it, you said a bath. That's a confusing word to me because I'm thinking I need a bathtub.
No, you just need like little Rubbermaid totes or
yeah,
like
yeah, you need a little square thing where you put your feet into.
Yeah,
or you need a pot
bath.
That you put your hands into. So let's do hands because it's easier to show. So you have Yo-Pot 1 with hot water and Yo-Pot 2 with cold water. Now, the hot water needs to be as hot as you can stand. What's that? Around 125, 130 degrees, something like that. You put it in, woohoo, that's hot. That's how it goes. You don't want to leave them in there because
no.
It's too hot. They're not burning you because you don't want to scald yourself. You just want it hot enough where, ouch, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And then you put them in the cold water, and the cold water's got hunks of ice floating around in it. It's, you know, 32 degrees, right? As cold as you can get. And so that you go in, it's too cold, and you come out again. Now, that was a shock. When you put your hands in the warm, it causes your blood vessels to dilate.
Yes.
That is, they get bigger.
Yes.
Then when you take them out, your hands are red.
Yes.
Red because you can see the blood.
Yes.
There's more blood on the surface now because the blood vessels dilate. Now they're red. You stick them in the pot, and now the cold makes the blood vessels squinch down.
Right.
That's constrict.
And they go white.
And they go white.
Yes.
Okay. You see, we're taking the blood vessels, we're going open, shut, open, shut. Open, shut,
and
like a rusty
working,
gate.
It's working its ability to circulate blood throughout the entire extremity.
Yeah, and so you go back and forth between these things.
For about 5 minutes?
About 5 minutes.
Okay.
Now what happens is, in that 5 minutes, the hot starts
gets
to cool
less,
down,
right?
And the cold starts to heat up a little bit, and so you can stand longer. You know, also, you put your hands in the cold water, now that they're cold.
How long would you enact this protocol? Would it be like a 3-week period, a month-long period of hydrotherapy?
And we're trying to grow toenails?
Toenails.
How long does it take to grow a toenail?
I don't know.
6 months?
Hope not. Yeah. I don't want to go through the winter without toenails.
No, I'm telling you, 6 months.
Gah.
So they're slow. Now we're trying to speed them up.
So maybe 3 months.
To grow nails, you need to have the material. We talked about that.
Lots of magnesium. Lots of
protein. And digest it, right?
Yeah.
We also need to have blood circulating. Because the cells, the blood goes by, the cells grab what they need, and they screw on the widget and do this other thing and lock it in, and now you have a nail molecule.
Uh-huh.
You push it on down the line, and they grab the next one. Now, if the blood's going zoom, 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 everything happens fast. Now, if the blood's going real slow, and you're cold, and you have cold feet all the time, this is sluggish as heck.
Well,
and the occasional lackadaisical put it in, the whole thing runs slow.
It makes me think of my Raynaud's also, and my nails have never been able to grow. And more recently, as I've been getting into Nordic skiing and cross-country skiing, I've realized that I have Raynaud's syndrome.
So not everybody knows what this Raynaud's, that's Raynaud's. How I know how to say it, is Raynaud's. Raynaud's. It's a condition where your body squinches down the blood vessels and won't let blood get to your extremities, your hands, mostly your feet as well. And so what your hands do is they turn white.
And
or
it's very
they turn
painful,
purple first,
and
then they turn white.
It's very cold, and you feel like you're on the edge of losing your limb.
The nerves don't like it when the blood flow stops.
Yeah, it feels like nerve pain.
Because it is nerve pain.
It is
your nerves
so
are absolutely
pain.
Causing pain. Yeah. They're telling you something's wrong here. If it gets bad enough, the blood flow can get so depleted that your body literally can't maintain the integrity of your tissues. So not only do your nails not grow, your skin won't grow. You literally, it'll break down on the tips. Raynaud's can get bad enough that you can get sores on the ends of your fingers because you use your fingers to do stuff. You rub the skin cells off, but they don't grow back. And eventually you'll wear right through them. And there'll be holes on the end of your fingers. And your nails will shrink, and the tips of your fingers will shrink, and literally your fingers will get shorter by having this, if it gets extreme. Heaven forbid. We do not want that to happen
right.
at all.
No.
Dr. Looper, how can I make sure that doesn't happen? Hydrotherapy. Maybe for the rest of your life. Now, the thing about hydrotherapy is once you do it, your hands get better. Because
mm-hmm.
your hands tend to constrict. And what you do, you open and close and open and close and open and close. Suddenly the opening and closing works better.
Mm-hmm.
You just... practicing. You're simply stimulating what your body already knows how to do. Now, the trick of this thing is we want blood flow to increase.
Mm-hmm.
So this is super important. This is the trick. This is what gets it to work. Everything we've talked about so far is the setup. The actual treatment is the last thing for your hands to hit is the cold.
Yes.
You put them in the cold.
And on cold.
You bring them out.
And let
and you
your body do its job.
Because your body is
going to
do everything it did before, which is you put it in there, the blood vessels squinch down, you pull them out, the blood vessels open up.
Yeah.
And they turn warm and red and they're pink and they're fabulous. And you're like, I can't believe this. My hands used to be white and now they're great because I just did this hydrotherapy thing back and forth. And now my nails are growing. But here's the thing. Remember the point of the show, we said, you can't do it once. And call it good because it doesn't work.
No, it has to be a habit. It needs to, you need to set it up in your pattern of living.
Yeah. And so you have to think, when do I do this?
At night.
Or in the morning.
Really?
Yeah, you could do it in the morning too. Morning makes you work better.
I would think night would work better because you're improving circulation before your body goes into a restful period. And the restful period is kind of the reconstruction period in your body.
True,
so.
But you also get the advantage of having warm hands as you move through your day, and so you have less pain, and your hands work better, and you get this effect. By the way, we have to be careful. We act like the effect dies in a few hours. It doesn't.
No.
It continues on.
Okay.
But if you really want to get the most out of it, do it twice. Do it
morning
in the morning
and night.
And do it at night. Now, how much time is going into doing this?
5 minutes. But you're setting it up, so probably 10 minutes for prep, making sure that your water is warm, making sure that your ice is ice in the freezer, and then
I don't think it's going to take 5 minutes to set up. What you get to see set up, you grab the two pots, put them on the kitchen table, right? What you fill up hot water from the...
I don't think I'd do it on the... Well, depending on what you're doing.
How are you going to do it? Wherever you're going to put it. You get hot water from the kitchen sink. Usually the water's hot enough. You don't
okay.
need to boil it on the stove.
Okay.
And then the cold water, also from the kitchen sink. We're so lucky here in Alaska. The people who are listening who aren't in Alaska, it sucks to be you, because we have ice water that comes out of the cold water.
And if we don't have ice water, we have snow readily available at our door. Dr. Looper, we are just a minute away from end of show.
Okay, so blood circulation is key. And the hormone thing we talked about with the building bone is also in play here. Your body
so go
builds
back
stuff.
To our last episode to yeah, be refreshed on that.
Let me go touch on one other thing. Hormones are interesting for hair growth because testosterone tends to cause hair loss, not growth. if you've got a lot of testosterone in your body, and you're male, or even a female for that matter, what you tend to do is you lose the hair on the top of your head, you keep it around the sides. This is male pattern baldness.
Yep.
Uh-huh. And what it's a sign of is virility. It's a sign of, in your body feels powerful and healthy and strong. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
You'd think that is a sign of some kind of weakness because it's unpopular. But in fact, in reality, it's a sign of strength. So there's something attractive about male pattern baldness. There's some kind of authority, some kind of benefit that you get as you get older. People trust you more.
You're wise.
You get the wisdom of age. Getting gray is the same kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely.
It's programmed in.
Yeah.
It's not that the system is breaking. It's that the system is designed to do this thing. So when I tell men who come to see me, they say, Dr. Luber, I want to grow hair. And I say, your male pattern baldness is a sign of health and virility. They mostly leave and they're disappointed because...
Because you didn't write them a script for hair transplant.
So, minoxidil. You can take this medication. It's a failed blood pressure medication. And what it does is it causes blood vessels to dilate, which causes your blood pressure to come down. Okay, that's what minoxidil is. If you didn't know that,
okay.
It was started as a blood pressure medication.
Okay.
So if your blood vessels dilate, now you have more blood flowing.
Yep.
And it turns out that it works on your scalp. Your scalp blood vessels dilate.
Okay.
Now there's more blood flowing in your scalp.
Does your blood pressure actually drop?
Your blood pressure drops.
Okay.
Because there's less pressure because the blood vessels open up. So it's easier for the blood to go through.
Which bigger seems blood like vessels. A bigger risk than reward of hair growth.
Well, I mean, if you got high blood pressure, this is great. It's a win-win because now your blood pressure came down and you're growing more hair. But the key of the point, the story is increased blood flow equals increased hair growth.
Increase protein.
So you don't have to take minoxidil to get your hair, to get your blood circulation in your scalp to increase. You could rub your scalp.
Yeah.
I'm doing it right now.
Yeah,
see
yeah,
this?
Yeah. Oh, I do
I'm
it.
I'm getting more blood
all
flow.
All the time. Scalp massages,
right
facial massages, temple massages, all so important.
Well, also, we can go to hydrotherapy in the shower. You take a warm shower, and then you flip it over to cold, go in the shower, right?
Yeah, that's
go back
so
hot, cold, hot,
much
cold, hot,
easier
cold.
Said than done. Okay, Dr. Luber, I think this is time for us.
Very good. Excellent.
All right.
Solving problems.
Growing hair one episode at a time. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Sensible Health Solutions. We hope you found today's discussion enlightening and packed with practical tips to enhance your wellness journey. Remember, small changes can lead to big results. If you enjoyed the episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us bring you the best content possible. Stay connected with us on social media for more health insights and updates. You can find us at Sensible Health Solutions across all social platforms. Until next time, stay sensible and stay healthy. This content is for informational purposes only and is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Seek medical advice from a healthcare professional for any medical conditions.